I was thinking how all of us are here tonight, and all of us are where we're at, whatever nation we're in or whatever city we're in, we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. That really impacts you, that you're living for such a time as this. And whether you're young or old, you have been brought to this planet for such a time as this, right now. You are where you're supposed to be. And I just want to encourage us, because I've been challenging myself in this and preparing to come to this seminar and to this weekend, is to hear the voice of God in what you're hearing, not just the words. And there is a difference. Jesus' disciples, even though he had explained parables to them, but they heard the voice of the Father in him, and it's what alerted them to walk with him in the kingdom. Many people heard Jesus' words. Isn't that amazing? Even though he was the Son of God, the Son of Man, many heard his preaching, but there were only a certain number that really heard Father's voice in the Son's voice. And I believe that we are called to be a people who hear the voice of God in this hour. You heard the voice of God tonight in Dennis when he shared with us. May you hear that in the workshops and the discussion groups and all the things that you're going to be a part of. On your notes, I'm going to start kind of from the end and work to the beginning. All right, I have here a present kingly perspective for stewardship and growth, because to me, as a teacher of God and the Word and so on, it's always important to set a context. Because what I'm going to share about the schools, because to me, I'm very excited about the schools. Matter of fact, to me, the schools right now are just so timely, maybe more than even in the past 10 years, they're more timely for the preparation that's needed for us and for the next generations than probably have been even from the beginning when they first started. Because we're in such that critical moment. When you read the books, when you hear Dennis's teachings, it's like it's being taken right from the newspaper today, right from the news today. So I just want us to be captured by the fact that, you know, the state of the nations, we have nine nations represented here. The nations are crying out for this message when they don't even know it. They're hungry for these words. And as they're hungry for this kind of food, as you take it back to your nations or take it back to your cities, there are going to be those that are going to respond to it because Father's been working on them. And I believe as Jesus modeled for us, he only worked where he saw the Father working. The Lord is going to point us in such a time as this to people who have ears to hear the voice of the Father through you sharing these words as you go. In your particular sphere of influence, in your city, in your neighborhood, at your work, at your school, wherever that connection is. Because as Dennis said, the state of the church, I'm very grateful. I am part of a church leadership now. I'm not actively pastoring every day because I have many other things I'm doing. But I'm part of a church leadership that very much is built on the fivefold ministry. It's called One Church Ministries, and the apostolic foundation is very strong in it. The prophetic is very strong. And therefore, the role of the pastor, I would say, is more adjusted as to what Dennis is saying, as to how that needs to be happening. But the state of the church in so many places is not even aware of how much we need to be activated. I mean, when you look at the onrush of what the enemy is doing, where are the players of God? Where are the armies of God? Where are the Davids coming to challenge the giant? All right? I think that those are in this room, partly, of what God is building in the earth today. The state of stewardship, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. The state of growth, I love. One of the things that really impacted me about Dennis when I was a pastor is this whole reality of the kingdom of God being over all, not the church, and how much we need to build in every area. And this is a business leadership workshop. One thing that my eyes were open to concerning business owners, and my brother was a small business owner right from the start. I had working with that when I first became a believer. And what I noticed is that businessmen were looking to be called up in the different offices that they represent in their sphere. And so often, much to the chagrin, I think, of the Lord, and when we look at it, pastors were just kind of using businessmen, you know, to the cash cow, so to speak, to support their project, to build their church, to give toward what they were doing, rather than building these businessmen in their sphere, building them as apostles and prophets and the leaders and teachers in that particular sphere. And I was impressed by that, so I started a round table of leaders in our church where I brought them together as pastor to them in particular to say, what is challenging you? Where can we help you? And got them interacting with each other and prayed for them. And out of that, it's amazing how they blossomed in their gifts, blossomed in their businesses, and became actually better members of the church because they knew what? They were valued. All right. One of the basic values of the business school is that we value people. Dennis constantly says, God loves people. And it's not about profit first and foremost. It's not about the bottom line. It's about valuing people and calling up proprietorship and calling up their gifts and their callings. So that's a great challenge, I think, to the state of stewardship that we have as God's business people, of where we're looking for that and those that we have influence over and those that we're working with, okay? The state of economics. Dennis has talked a lot about the fact that there is a day of reckoning coming and we're all preparing to be safety nets and first responders in that area by having our own lives grounded and our foundations secure, amen? So that we're operating in faith and not fear. And then our state of readiness. I'm glad that Dennis brought out the point because I identify with it, we're not as ready as we need to be, but we're more ready than we were before, just by the fact that we know we need to be more ready. The worst thing is what we don't know, but God is revealing to us what we need to know and how we need to get ready and how we need to be prepared. So if you look at your notes, what are the purposes of these workshops? It's to, for some of you, maybe to introduce you to kingdom economics and business practices through our school. We've been rebranding our schools, which is very exciting. And we have now an online management system of learning that is tremendous as well. And I know that Abigail's been helping with that and working with that, but it just frees us to have groups and different classes starting at different times of the year. Before, we were kind of on a schedule where it had to be start in May and in March. Now we can start at different times, and it's very user-friendly. It's very workable, and this first year that we've really engaged in and are using it, I find that the facilitators are very happy with it. Takes a while to get into it, especially for somebody older like me to do the technology side of it, but that's okay. But this time is a time to just be inspired, a time to be encouraged. When I hear Dennis challenge us, I go, our schools are a part of the answer for this. The business school is an answer for those working in the business area, those working in economics. This is an answer. This is a place to get the training. This is a place not just to learn business practices. I mean, you could go and get online courses, you know, many out there, and many of them are very good. But this is, as Dennis says, a seamless garment that gets all the way into the foundations of your life, not just teaching you how to be a business manager, but first and foremost, and this is what I would underline and underscore, teaches you how to be your son or daughter of God first. See, when we meet people, what is usually the first thing people say? What do you do? You know, well, I own this business or I pastor this church. But, you know, God is most concerned with us as sons and daughters, first and foremost. That's our identity. Because when that's established, it doesn't matter when God shakes your world, to make you into a better son or daughter, because that's what he's really after anyway. He's not after you building an empire or a business just to have a successful, profitable business. He's using that to build you as a son or daughter of the living God. And that's what the school brings out. And that's what the school will go in the 2 years when people engage in it. Those of you that have gone through it know that it changes your life. It's transformational. All right. If you're not changed, then you're not breathing, or you're just not connected with the Lord. But if you're connected with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be changed. You're going to have a passion for studying God's word. You're going to look through the magic glasses of your calling as you read the word. You're going to be taught how to do that in a deeper way. And that's very important. There's a renewed hope for change in the church that Dennis is talking about must come to us being not just priests, but kings. And that's why we have this examination, or just even an introduction to this course. Dennis says something. He says, in a fallen world, the ultimate question is, how do we experience transformation? And this is the thing that's so important. Just as much as we can't fix people, how many of you ever tried to fix people? Right? You can't fix people. You can't fix yourself. But here's what happens. God transforms you as you submit to his word and his ways. All right? God transforms you as you align yourself with his word and his ways. That's the only way change is going to happen. That's the only way transformation is going to happen. So you can't fix your employees. Just as much as if you're married, you found out you can't fix your husband or fix your wife. Now, in the many years that I pastored, I had men or women tell me, well, I even married this person because I was going to fix them. I had a heart to fix them. And I would say, after 2 years of marriage or 5 years or 20, how's that working for you? And many times that's why they were sitting in my office, to get down to business about what are really the issues here and how God can transform. So this is very, very important. I was thinking, maybe you could put that slide up. First one. There it is. All right. It's critical to hear God's voice in all the words you will hear this week. And here's another point. Dennis brought this out, that we need to see Jesus as king. Here's a key to that, I believe. John leaned on Jesus' bosom, didn't he, during Jesus' earthly ministry, right? I mean, he was like one of the insiders with Jesus. He was in the inner circle with him. But look at the Jesus that John encountered on the Isle of Patmos. If you look at Revelation 1, and I think this is the Jesus that we as the church need to see, because I think it's great, and I know pastorally, my priestly ministry was to help people to see Jesus as one who loved them, one who died for them, one who forgave them their sins, one who wants to heal their life from woundedness, from abuse. They want, you know, God wants to heal their marriages, so on and so forth. And that's the Jesus that we find. We lean on his bosom. He is amazing as our Savior, right? However, there is another side of him. And that's the resurrected side that the book of Revelation brings out. Now look at this picture of John with him on the Isle of Patmos. Verse 9, Revelation 1. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the Isle of Patmos. Why? On account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. You notice he's not complaining about his state. He says, I'm there on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then he said, I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. And he says, I turned to see that voice. And he describes him. the hairs of his, he had a, in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe, a golden sash. Hairs of his head were white like white wool. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell like dead at his feet. Whew. God! Oh, if we could only get that kind of revelation of Jesus. Think about it. That's the revelation we need of who the King is that Dennis was preaching to us tonight. That's the picture of the King. He's not the lowly Galilean. He's not riding on a donkey. Next time he appears on any kind of riding animal, it's a white horse coming to conquer. Conquer and conquering. If we don't have that kind of revelation of Jesus, how are we ever going to do the things we need to do in business or in our cities or any, how are we going to do it? And it says that we need to, it says right here, this revelation needs to be read out loud. Read out loud this revelation, because you know there's something in speaking this word about who Jesus really is today that something needs to just arrest us. Does that make sense? So when you think about Jesus, go to this picture again and again and again and again and again. Because the kingly role that we're called to have, even in business, where we have the priestly role of helping people and encouraging people, but then there's the whole thing of having strategies and management and getting the gifts going and finding out what makes people, what floats them, who they are in God. And by the way, not their dreams, but what is God's dream. That disturbs me some when I hear, even among Christians, oh, you know, God's going to fulfill your dreams. I don't know about you, but I could have lots of dreams. But what is Father's got a dream. Father's got a dream for business people. Father's got a dream, doesn't he? For the church, for every jurisdiction, for every calling. He's got a dream. That's what I want to tie into. I want to find out, Father, what is your dream for me? Father, what is your purpose for me? That's what I want, because that's when Jesus, that's every breath he took, was to find out what was Father's vision for him. And he says, I only do the Father's will. He says, I have meat to eat that you do not know of. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me. Who is my father, mother, brother, sister? He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So that vision of Jesus we need to be captured by if we are going to apply the principles that God gives us for economics and for business. But you see, this is, to me, it's the groundwork. Dennis laid out foundational, rock-solid groundwork tonight, didn't he? Bedrock stuff that, man, we can stand on that. We can take that to the bank. We can take that to the battlefield. We can take that to our personal life with the Lord. We could take it to our marriages. We could take it to our families, can't we? See, it's not only good preaching, it's actually true. I remember hearing a story about a wonderful man of God. Many of you might have known him, Ern Baxter. He was quite a preacher, quite an orator of God. But he was filing out of the church after preaching this tremendous message about, you know, he has this whole message about, you know, that we're like eagles that can fly. You know, we're not the crows that caw, caw, caw in the corner. And, you know, there's a guy waiting for him at the door, and he shakes the guy's head and he says, that was a tremendous message if it were only true. The school of business helps us to know what is true. What we can go to the bank with, what we can build our lives on, where we need transformation, where we need to be shaken down, where we need to sit in the pain of the questions, as Dennis says, until we come to God's way out and God's way through and God's alignment for us. It's interesting that the picture of Jesus in Revelation is one both of a lion and a lamb. That's in Revelation 5. It talks about who can open the seals, right? And there's weeping going on. Who's worthy? Oh, there's one worthy. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He can take the seals and break it open. And it says in that chapter, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but you can go there, that he has called us to be the very thing that we're about in this conference this week, kings and priests unto our God, because it belongs to him. So I don't know about you, but I trust, and I just sensed in Dennis tonight, he's calling the warrior out of us, isn't he? I think to be warriors for the king, we must become like David. And you see, when the world would look at us, we can be like those that Samuel looked at when he was looking at Jesse's sons as to who was going to be king. Remember how he looked at that? You know? And God kept saying, you know, because Jesse, in his natural thinking, which is so much what we have to work against, by the way, the schools will challenge your natural mind. The schools will challenge your natural man. And you will be frustrated in your natural mind and frustrated in your natural man by the principles of the kingdom that are brought out in the school. And that's because that's what God is going to be after, to transform you, okay? You will be changed. Another picture is that the bookshelves will be knocked over. Right now, my library right now is kind of in disarray because I'm doing another level of sorting and removing books that I haven't used or won't use. So my library and all my books are all over the floor. I don't like that because I like order. But it's like God is saying, that's exactly what I want to continue to do with you. Deal with it. I want to knock over your bookshelves and rearrange them, sort out what is precious from the worthless. This is my process in you. Because I'll tell you what, folks, we got to strip down much more than we are if we're going to be ready for the race and ready for the battle. All right? God's going to tell us, you don't need that, you don't need that, you don't need this, you don't need that. But this is the thing that I have just prayed for over the years, and that is to have God's heart. David was chosen, why? Not by his appearance, not by his gifts, right? Not by who he was just in himself. What was the main thing God saw in him? He was a man, what? After God's heart. It says, I've chosen a man who will do all the will that I will ask of him. God knew about David, and David wasn't perfect. We all know that. That's comforting in some sides, right, that we're not perfect. But where is your heart? Hosea, in the book of Hosea, there's this Hebrew word that's used. It's called the Doth Elohim of God. That's the heart burden of the Lord. See, what Dennis is telling us and what we need to be grasped by is, what is God's heart burden right now? Where is his heart throbbing for his testimony? Dennis says it's for us to be kings. We cannot be timid. We cannot be withdrawn. We cannot be isolated. The roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah has to be in us. Wherever we go and whatever we touch. And that doesn't mean we are warriors and fighters to defeat people, but we must be against the enemy and how he is damaging people, how he is taking the heart out of people. That's the Father's heart that we attempt to see imparted through the School of Business, is heart for people in that sphere. Father's heart. Doth Elohim. What is the emotion of God right now? Where is God's emotion in our culture? Where is God's emotion in your neighborhood? Where is God's emotion in your city? I live in the city of Racine, Wisconsin, and the corridor between Chicago, Racine, and Milwaukee is a human trafficking corridor. Unbelievable. Matter of fact, just in our two counties, they have had in the past 2 years 400 human trafficking rescues. 400. And you'd be surprised, people that are involved in human trafficking. It's not what you would think to be, quote unquote, the scumbags of the culture. One of the rings that was broken up were doctors and nurses that were involved in it. And we're talking kids as young as 10 years old. So the roar of the lion has to be demonstrated against that in our city. Also in our city, there's a great rising up right now among business people and churches about the abortion issue, about being pro-life. I remember Dennis preaching 25 years ago about how God must have something special for the present generation that looking to be born because the enemy's killing them before they're born. I think the battle has been raised to another level when now they're killing them after they're born. I was outraged when the state that I lived in for almost 40 years, New York State, passed one of the most outrageous pro-abortion killing infanticide of babies being killed after they were born outside of the womb. And they not only passed that bill, they celebrated it. They lit up the new building where the Twin Towers used to be in pink to celebrate that. They lit up the bridges in Albany, the state capital, to celebrate that. They had parties after that signing of that particular bill in the state of New York. I was ashamed to say I ever lived in that state. And yet I know many Christians, and we did for years, battled that issue in our state. But we got to keep battling. We've got to keep standing until we win that battle. But that's the heart of the Father, isn't it? Man after God's heart, a corporate David. You know, I think of David's men. You know, you can read about them in 2 Samuel 23, and that's what we look to raise up in the schools, are these kind of men and women. But remember, David just kind of had this kind of desire. He longed, he said, oh, that I might have water from the well in Bethlehem. He just said it in passing. His men were so committed to him, and they saw that that was a desire of his, that these mighty men risked their lives to break through the corridor that was around Bethlehem of the enemy, got the water from the well, and brought it back to David. And it says he couldn't even drink it. He poured it out as an offering before the Lord. I think I would have at least taken one sip of that, but anyway. But okay, this is what we're looking again to impart through the schools is this issue of when Father has a desire. What is Father's desire right now? See, that's what Dennis is telling. Father's desire is for us to manage. Father's desire is for us to listen to, and I've heard Dennis say this before, the kerygma, the edict, the sovereign decree of King Jesus that separated the church in the book of Acts from any other religious people, because it wasn't the fact that Jesus was Savior that upset the governments of Rome and upset Caesar and upset the leaders. What was the issue that upset them? What upset them is because this was what they, when they brought these men before the tribunal in Acts 17, it says, these are those that turn the world upside down because they are saying there's another king. One Jesus. And that was a declaration of war that sent them to the Colosseum and caused persecution to rise like never before. That's why Dennis is saying we as the church and as God's people in the earth have to and see the King risen, see him with the fiery eyes, see him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, see him as the King of kings and Lord of lords, and that's the King we're serving, and we are not going to bow our knee to any other edict or decree of sovereignty, but his lordship.
That's right.
That's going to upset the church, let alone the world. And that is why the world system is so afraid of us as Christians being in the business realm, in the marketplace, with our principles and with the truth and with alignment to the truth, and that there is absolute truth and that you can actually measure what you are producing. Isn't it great that we can, in business especially, isn't this true, business owners? You know immediately you have the test of whether something is fruitful or not. It's immediate, isn't it? I mean, results-based reality just hits you right now. Aren't you glad for that, too? Aren't you glad that God judges our works incrementally? Aren't you glad that he brings the blowtorch to it and goes, whoa, look at that. That was built on wood, hay, and stubble. Oh, that was built on the kingdom principle. Oh, you got to learn this one over here. See, today, the world is afraid of failing or being judged as to the fact they failed. Now, my wife and I, we work for Panera part-time. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that story in a minute. But for the past month, the managers at Panera at our location have been on edge. You know why they've been on edge? Because the auditor's coming. Oh, would it be that we could have auditors go to our civil government locations? I mean real auditors. So the auditors come, and you know what they do? They're checking for temperatures of the different foods. And you know what? It's not a matter of guessing. They stick a thermometer in there. Whoa. This is good. You're right up to speed. So I deliver for Panera, and my wife works the register. So I come back from a delivery, and everybody is like on edge, and everybody's on their best behavior, and everybody's checking everything, because as soon as I walk in, the auditor's here, watch the auditor's here, she's right over, watch the auditor's here, make sure that's cleaned over there. Don't we all need that?
Yes.
Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? Yes. Holy Spirit comes and says, can I check that out? Let me check it out here. Let me see how you're really doing in this. I mean, don't you hate that? I don't know about you, but I hate when I get on the bathroom scale. After I've looked in the mirror and said, yeah, doing pretty good, I think. Yep, doing, I think I'm, I, that doesn't feel good. But when I get on that, I even hate to get on that scale. Every Friday morning, I pull that scale on my wife and I, and, you know, doesn't lie. Now, what I don't understand is how come the doctor's scale is always 6 or 7 more pounds than my home scale? What is that conspiracy? Anyway, get on that scale, man, and there it is. Nope, I don't weigh this that I thought I weighed or how I wanted myself to look or how I convinced myself to look. This tells me I'm overweight. Deal with it. That's what the schools will do to your business. That's what the schools will do to your personal life and the Lord. There'll be reality checks, and it'll be real. But isn't that what you want? You know, the world is living in a delusion today. Just an example. No matter what you think about Trump, but the fact is, there was no collusion. Well, just the facts that there was no collusion doesn't mean that there wasn't colluding going on. Okay. Whatever you say. Is that collusion in the room right now with us, or where are you with this? But that's more and more where our culture is going. Like Dennis said, facts don't matter. Facts are going to matter as you go through the school. Reality will matter. All right? Aligning again with the Father's heart will matter. And God wants these kind of men and women who will say, I have a desire for the culture. I have a desire for your city. Oh, I would long for you to be engaged in your city politically. Oh, I would long for you to be engaged in being on the task force for human trafficking or on the pro-life movement board. all of our children, Faith and I were not able to have our own biological children, so all of our children are adopted. We had two daughters that were siblings. We adopted them when they were 10 and 6, and they are now 42 and 39. We adopted our son when he was 2 days old, and now he's going to be turning 29 at the end of May. And I remember my wife and I laying in bed, and we adopted our daughters because people said you're going to have a honeymoon period with them, which means they'll be nice and everything is going to be there. Very abused, come bad situation. And Faith and I would lay in bed at night and go, we can't do this. We can't do this. I don't care what anybody says. We got to get him back. And I remember Father specifically coming and saying to me, son, this is what it means to carry my heart for a fallen world. You want to march in dress uniform. I want you to get your bib overalls on and get down in the trenches with me and in the ditches. Get into where the crap is in the stall, son, because that's where you're going to learn where I am and what I am about and my ways, not you thinking just doing a good thing, but actually doing it. And I think the call that Dennis is giving us is, we're not talking about marching on the parade field. We're not talking about triumphalism. We're talking about getting down into the dirty. In the notes here, there was the issue of Dennis talking about marketplace ministry movement, and he says about, you know, validation of the ministry of all believers, like we say, that it's just not the pastors or the home group leaders that are the real ministers, but everybody's a minister in every jurisdiction. Isn't that liberating? Don't you feel better already? I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, now that I'm not directly in pastoring every day, I can really appreciate being appreciated as somebody who works in a lowly business. I'm called to be there, all right? But this is the point I want to make. He says phase one is validation. Phase two, evangelism, show up at work. Would you put that picture up here? Me? That's okay. This is my uniform when I work at Panera. I want to tell you, the reason I'm putting this up here is because this is what I want to say. And this goes to the heart of where God is calling us right now. And it may seem, you know, is it, where are you getting at? What I'm getting at is this. I didn't know this is where God was going to take me when I resigned from my church 5 years ago. See, because I was a pastor, I believed in the business realm, operated with a lot of men in business, still do, in mentoring and encouraging from a pastoral angle as well as a, you know, building with them and so on. But here was the thing, and so when we left the ministry, we began to work with Dennis and Jan and go strategic with the facilitators of the schools. We connected with someone who has an international bridge ministry to pray for indigenous pastors in Central Asia and the Middle East and so on. So we're doing that. We were still pastoring a pastor in the apostolic group that we're a part of called Kingdom Ministries USA that Dennis was a part of and headed up in the past. But this I didn't see coming. And I'm just being vulnerable with you. This I didn't see coming. Because this was really serving tables, literally. And you know how God did this to my wife and I? She actually got started there first. But this is what he said. You want to reach the millennials? You want to reach the next generation? Yes, Lord. and boy, I can preach, I can talk to them, I can teach them, I can, well, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go be a delivery driver at Panera 4 days a week. And you're just going to serve them and work with them and be a dad to them, be a grandfather to them, because I could be many of their grandfathers. I mean, the managers are only in their 20s. And God says, submit to them. I'm just being vulnerable with you. That put me through changes. I've been working there now 3 years, and God has opened up through this business connection. I mean, I also see what's wrong with Panera, but that's a whole other story. But God has opened up to us these young lives, and so many of them are from broken homes. So many of them already have kids, and they're kids themselves. They don't know about relationships. They hear that my wife and I have been married 46 years, and they can't believe it. You've been married for 46 years. Yes. To the same person. No, that, I mean, it, see, because they don't even talk about commitment. They don't even talk about marriage. So many of them have kids. And again, you know what it did to me? Because, you know, it's so easy, even for us as Christians, to look at that kind of thing and go, what's wrong with our culture? Well, what's wrong is the lack of fathers. What's wrong is the disintegration of the family. So are we going to be a solution to that, or are we going to be just the judge of that because we know best and how it should be?
Come on.
But I got to tell you, you want to talk about God getting into the internal of me, talk about getting to my pride? Because it's one thing, see, even when I related to people that would, you know, come into my life when I was a pastor, they related to me as a pastor. Now when business people come into Panera, and I'm in this outfit, it's like, who are you? Oh, I'm the best kept secret of God in this place.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I'm covert for Jesus. I'm not going to tell you that. But you see, I had to deal with my own image. I'm a pastor, Lord. I've been a pastor. This is where you work when you're starting out, not when you're going to the end. But welcome to the kingdom of God. See, this was God's placement for me to reach the next generation. Was it my choice? No, but that's not the point, is it? And maybe God is are testing you in some of that way. And by the way, you don't know where you're going to end up. I want to be pastor emeritus. I want to be elder emeritus. I want to be a man recognized for my many years in ministry. Panera driver, driving with 20-somethings, driving with teenagers, a lot of them, wiping down tables. I can't tell you the days I'd be wiping down these tables going, God, really? Really? It has broken my heart. It's adjusted my heart. It's humbled me. It's made me a better person. It's made me stronger in my stamina for the Lord. It's made me a better understander of business because I see what managers go through and I'm able to support them and pray for them. My wife and I are pillars in this place, but we're just mere workers. See, God knows that, and I know that in my heart, but nobody else would even realize that. Most of these people don't even know. Like I tell them, I'm going to a conference to speak. Oh, that's nice. But yet the people we've affected, let me give you one example. A young gal, she was adopted. So, you know, we have adopted children. We have a relationship with her. She's a co-manager. She's another store now. She was there for a time. She was going to, you know, move in with her boyfriend. And she talked to her parents about it. Her parents thought that was a fantastic idea because you get to know people before you marry them. She goes, but you know what? I got to go check it out with my Panera parents. So, you know, we get a little bit to say something here and there because this can be pretty rugged. You know, Faith and I both work, you know, 5.5 straight hours. We don't take a break 4 days a week. And this past winter, I figure now I can deliver in the Arctic Circle, because I was delivering on days when we had Wisconsin, we had the polar vortex. How many heard of the polar vortex? It was minus 40 degrees wind chill for about 2-3 days in a row. And you know what? I survived it. I'm a better man for it. I didn't like it. I just hope, again, I'm just saying, this is Father putting his kings in place. This is rulership. Because he who serves leads. I thought I knew that. And Father says, you don't know it the way you're going to know it, son. You're going to know it by putting on that uniform every day, 4 days a week, and going and making 20, 30 deliveries a day, and being tired when you come home, and by the time Friday comes, you're ready for the weekend. But you are going to be a better man for it. This will make you more of a king and a priest than if I kept you in just pastoral ministry for another 20 years. You'll never know where this kingly anointing is going to sit. You never know where he's going to put you. Don't ever say, I won't do that. Don't ever say, God would never do that to me. Oh, yeah? Watch him. Not because he's, let me tell you something. This is totally father-son with me. This is Father disciplining me. This is Father training me. And like I said, I'm able to be a better mentor because of this. I'm able to be more empathetic. And I'll tell you what, I am in touch with the next generation in a way I would have never been if I would have stayed where I was. And not to say wherever you are isn't where God has you, but all I'm saying is God will take you in mysterious pathways to get you to have an impartation that he wants you to give. See, God makes us fearless. Makes us fearless to stand. That's God's will and purpose. So I'm learning how to show up there. This is my way for you, God said, to reach the next generation. End of this, because I don't have time to get into any more of it, but there's such good stuff here. This is all things, when you read through this, you'll get into the depths if you haven't been through the school or if you go through it again. I have the privilege right now of facilitating a group with the gal April Wilson and Alex, your daughter is in our group with her husband, Jonathan, and there's a couple, the Romans, who live in Hawaii, but they're both service. The Romans, he's in the Coast Guard service down there, and of course, Jonathan is teaching in Annapolis, and their wives run businesses. But it's just such, to hear their heart for their generation. And let me tell you, they see where their generation is at. They want to be happy, and they're not very happy. They want to be comfortable, and they're not very comfortable. So they're able to bring a perspective of the kingdom. But April and I get off the call, and we stay on ourselves just to celebrate what we're hearing about these two couples. They're taking this material. They're digesting it. They're saying, this is changing how I'm approaching my online business. This is changing how I'm approaching the gal in Florida or in Hawaii, how I'm dealing with my photography. This is changing our lives. As a matter of fact, this gal in Hawaii, she said, this actually changed my view of having children. We're going to have a baby in July because this really changed my attitude about generations. You know how delightful that is? I get off those calls and I'm going to go, man, I can go to work tomorrow, Panera. puts everything in perspective, okay? But that's what God is doing. And just get to, you know what? I always said this to people when I pastored. You know what? We don't have to do things. We get to do them. Aren't you glad that we get to do these things? Aren't you glad that you get to be here to hear Dennis and you get to be inspired? And it's not just something that's, you know, cheerleading. This is something where you can get real, real life, real time training to go and make that difference, to go and be a lion, to go and be a ruler, to go and be a king, to go and be a priest. We're going to do it. Not because we have it, but the one who is with us has it all. And whether we're in a Fortune 500 company and are the CEOs, or whether we work sweeping the floor, if we have the King and the Kingdom, victory is ours. Father, thank you so much just for the opportunity to share your life in the schools, your life in the business leadership school, your life in each of us. So we each have testimonies like this. Help us to encourage one another with our stories, Lord. Help us to build each other up, because we overcome the devil by the word of our testimony in one aspect, by the blood of the Lamb, by not loving our life unto death. And Lord, you're working on all those areas, aren't you? Lord, bless us in the schools. Bless us in this conference. Lord, bless each one that is here and those that are still coming. And Lord, in our discussion groups, help us to chew on this together in such a way where we go away changed, Lord. We go away, maybe we came discouraged, but we go away encouraged. Lord, maybe we lacked a little bit of vision, but now we're envisioned. We had despair, but now we're hopeful. We had timidity and fear, but now we're bold. As a lion, we have the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah imparted into our hearts, because we are men and women after your heart, Father. Give us your heart, your emotion, and your training and your skill set to get the job done for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.